folks.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am. Have you been waiting for this show? Oh yeah. This will be the show. I'm going to go ahead and stop the music because the intro just takes from the importance of the topic. Today I am Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognigro. Again, podcasting from an undisclosed location somewhere deep in the penal colony that is the United States of America. And I thank all of you. Your support is greatly appreciated. My shout out goes to our esteemed colleague, Dr. Kalo Black, for those of you that follow us on Twitter. Dr. Black is one of the premier informational outlets for Hebrews that I can imagine. Though newly acquainted, I can see from his presentation and all that he knows, he is a very stellar and capable individual. Again, I thank you for tuning into the podcast. The guest call-in is 319-527-6069. Tonight we discuss that I've been promoting that I think might do us well as a community. I say this in all seriousness. Foundational Black Americans, Negroes, Hebrews. What would happen if we collectively began to consider that life in the United States was more akin to life in a penal colony? Now, I know it's an absurd thought, Australia. But a lot could be accomplished, in my opinion, if we were to collectively come to terms with that as a fact. As we walk about the countryside, as we are released captives, the descendants of slaves, that title has never been removed from a single progeny of slave. Now, I could point to Dred Scott, but I think it goes beyond what might be written or a law that might be passed. Excuse me. I think our being not citizens, but inmates, captives in this country, stolen from a murdered, conquered group that occupied this land before our oppressor. And I can only imagine what might happen collectively to the thoughts and ideas and ideations of Black Americans who considered themselves prisoners. Well, let's see what would happen. What might happen? I don't know. So first, I wanted to cover, let me give you the call-in number again. It's 319-527-6069. Now, I'm going to be here for a couple hours, and I'm promoting this theory because I know that mindset has quite a bit to do with how we approach where we live, how we live, what we do, the choices we make. mindset. I'm confronted every day with Negroes whose mindset is that of our oppressor. In fact, recently I've come upon one who determined that we should be grateful as Black Americans for being in this country. Now, I'm not really one to complain. Thank you, dear. But let me say this. We have nothing to be grateful for. There is nothing that the dominant society in this country can give to us to atone for the enslavement that our ancestors suffered. There is no debt that can be paid. There is no monetary value that can be placed. There's so much talk on reparations, it would bankrupt the country into non-existence. They can't pay us. That's the real story on reparations. Let's just move that out of the way. Fact of the matter is, we have never been citizens here. They don't treat us like citizens. They come close. But as long as certain institutions exist within this government and in this country, and as long as we have a history that teaches us otherwise, make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, we are locked up with freedom of movement. You can consider the American landscape the yard. Okay? You can consider any person not wearing a badge just a part of the prison administration. They serve in capacity one or the other, various jobs they might do. Consider, of course, anyone with a badge, an officer, a CO, a corrections officer. Let's continue. We all get canteen ever so often. Ever so often we get money put on our books. We can work and earn money in this huge prison industry authority that we all live in collectively. Now, for everyone else, this is a land of opportunity. For everyone else, this is America, where you expect to be treated fairly and equally. And that might be the case. I don't really know. I don't draw my experiences from another person's life. I can only draw them from my own. And by what I see, not having achieved the title of citizen, we are at that point sub-citizen, and I would say on an equal playing field with our prisons or prisoners in our society, they too are a subclass of citizen. Now, what makes me go down this road? Here's the reason I do so. Why do we consider anyone that doesn't wear a badge just a part of the prison industry? Well, they can call the police on us at any time. Now, I want you to think about something. Have you ever seen a black person call the police on another black person in this country and it posted on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else? Have you ever seen that occur? Have you ever seen? I've not seen it. I've not seen it on any YouTube videos. I've not seen it in any social media. I've not seen a black person, a Negro, a Hebrew, call the authorities on another Hebrew for, let's just say, swimming in a pool. Or let's just say, playing their music too loud. I don't know. How about breathing over there? I've not seen it happen, and I don't know that they might respond. But I do know that every citizen in this country that is not us and not wearing a badge can call the authorities on us, and they will not only respond, appear, but also investigate, and do so in short order, collectively, all at once. And if we protest too much, you can be killed during the encounter. Let's take it one step beyond that. If you are killed, murdered, during an encounter where someone called the authorities on you, the excuse would simply be made that the officer was in fear for his life, and the whole thing would be swept under the rug. Now, I'm not making these stories up, folks. Am I? Isn't this what's happening? We are in prison. Welcome. Now, if I could get everybody on that page, what would happen to our collective psyche? What kind of actions would we take to try to conceal what we do from everyone who is not in prison? What kind of unity could we expect from that collective mindset? What would it hurt? You don't have to share with our oppressor your new mindset. You can look through your eyes without revealing your thoughts. But consider your actions if you were to act as if you were in a penitentiary. Now, I might be giving a little bit away about my past, but as you know, you can't even really claim to be a Black American in this country and not have done some time. So I'll just leave that there. But again, if we were to collectively consider that we were locked up, the amount of unity that would result, especially if there were a known way out, especially if you knew that if you took certain steps, you could self-parole. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognigro. Tonight's broadcast brought to you, as always, by First Contact. First Contact is a lead-generating company for service industries. If you own a business and want to talk to people who you know a little bit about, call First Contact. They will contract their lead-generating services week to week, month to month, or biweekly. The number is 800-530-8915. First Contact, scrub data is best. 6:13, 5th of October, 2020. I am Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker. I want to thank you all for tuning in. The call-in number, 319-527-6069. The topic tonight, Foundational Black Americans, Life in the United Penal Colony for Negroes. We start the two-hour podcast. I just wanted to cover how I believe we can establish, substantiate, and prove that we are in prison. We are doing life. There is no parole. You can self-parole if you know how to file the correct paperwork. Now, I was delving into how that might affect our psyche, what we might do, how we might act. I mentioned first that we would keep away from authorities, avoid them at all costs. Can you imagine what would happen if we were to do that? We do to further ourselves private. has nothing to do with the man, nothing to do with the prison system. So if we're discussing things that we need to do within our own community to better ourselves, we don't have to make a public proclamation. That's something that would occur if we all thought as if we were in prison. Tell you another thing we wouldn't do. We wouldn't ask the man for anything. Now, we might be able to trick a few free people into getting us some stuff. But as far as the man, we don't ask him for anything. I think one of the main components of being locked up, is that you always prepare for an escape. Always plot your escape. And in this particular prison, we can self-parole. We can simply file the correct paperwork, go about the steps needed, and we can leave. Chase after us either. Now, if you've gotten in trouble while doing your time in the United Penal Colony for Negroes, they're going to make it more difficult for you to leave. So you're more than likely going to have to, you know, kind of find a spot on the prison property far away from as many people as possible. Make that your plan. What else would we do if we thought we were in prison? We wouldn't riot, so we wouldn't protest because we know they're not going to do anything except put that down or put us on lockdown. We certainly wouldn't tear up our own communities. We wouldn't tear up our own cells or the areas around ourselves. We're not going to destroy our own areas. Do you see where I'm going with this, folks? I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be a smartass, as some of you have inferred. I mean, when I ask the question, what have white people done for us? I mean, that's not being a jerk. It's asking a legitimate question. Some of you take what I say personally. I advise you not do that. You know, I'm a personality. I'm gonna say things that may be controversial, but I'm never trying to say anything that designed to piss you off or make you, my brothers and sisters, mad. It may challenge what you think, but if you come at me, believe it or not, I'm probably going to come back at you. Now, my brother has told me I need to be patient. I'm going to work on that. I'm not making any promises, not yet. Back to the topic. We are in jail. We walk around guarding our every move against the man seeing us. We keep to ourselves. We don't depend on them for anything. We take advantage of every loophole the system has to offer. We deal harshly with traitors. Roll them up. Because you know you're going to have people that work with the man. Right? Think of how this would just bring us all together. It would make a more cohesive Black America. And you wouldn't have to tell them anything. You wouldn't have to share with white society your new thought process. And it would bring us together as we plot and plan our self-parole or our escape. Because they're going to keep killing us, and they're not going to be sorry about it. And you can protest, you can march, you can vote. I don't care what you do. Just as in a prison system, they don't care what the inmates do. You can do whatever makes you feel good. There'll be consequences if you do the wrong thing. Otherwise, have at it. And if we don't catch you, have at that too. You know that that's the circumstance we're all facing as Black Americans in this country, as the descendants of slaves, as Negroes, as Hebrews. And the fact of the matter is, some of you don't want to admit it. Some of you get mad if I don't profess my gratitude for being in a country that stole us from another country and put us to work for free, building the country, and then made us sub-citizens in the same country we helped build. How can any of you consider gratitude the appropriate response in this circumstance? I cannot. I will not. Once woke, it's nearly impossible to go back to slumber. But there are some of you out there that live in perpetual slumber. Some of you actually live in gratitude for being stolen, enslaved, and abused in a country that hates your black ass. And I mean all of it. I get tired of hearing our public figures tell us how much they want to uplift us and put us on equal footing with everyone else. That's the most disingenuous piece of nonsense I've ever heard spewed from the mouths of politicians and public figures. True equality would mean destroying white supremacy. And there is no way that any of you in power will allow that. You know, some people check out all my different social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, Tumblr, Pinterest, YouTube, Twitter, Blogger, and the website. Little plug there. And they all ask me, why, you know, you're always talking about race. Why are you always talking about race? Why are you always talking about race? Amos, why are you always talking about race? Race, race. You know, because that's what this is all about. You know, we didn't make it all about race. White people made it all about race. And when we address the fact that they made it about race and so we keep it about race, then they ask us, why are you making it about race? You built this country on making it about race. Are you kidding me? White supremacy is the very foundation of America. They can never let us be free. They can never let us be equal to them. It will mean relinquishing all they murdered and enslaved for. But I'll tell you the one thing that prevents white America from coming to terms with their past. And let me tell you, it's one word. It's fear. That's why America will always be a prison for Negroes. White America lives in fear. They know what they did. They know how we feel about it. But they don't know what we'll do about it if given the opportunity. And that is their biggest fear. And because they've spent the last 50 to 70 years killing off the best of them, they are now left with a bunch of Donald Trumps. The United States filled to the brim with Donald J. Trumps. This is why we are in a prison. I want to say the word is kakocracy. I may be wrong. Close. Where the dumbest, the stupidest people rule the land. The ignorant. Some of you may claim that Donald Trump is a racist. And some of you compare him to Hitler. Even I've done it. But let me say this. Hitler was intelligent. Hitler wrote his own book. And Hitler could speak well. Please don't insult Hitler by comparing Donald Trump to him. How you like that? We are in a perilous position, folks. And I think by listening to last week's show with Dr. Kalo Black, it's understandable the position that we're in. They are on a mission to reduce the population, and they're really not going to mind if black people are eliminated in the process. This is life in the United Penal Colony for Negroes. We are in a prison. As you know, I promote the agenda, the Association of Geographically Enslaved Negro Descendants of the Americas. I know it's a mouthful. I made it up. It is what it is. But we are geographically enslaved. I say that because it plays into us being in a prison environment. Simple rules. Separate. Educate, do no harm. That's the agenda. How this interplays into being in a prison? Simple. Separate. I don't want to stop at removing ourselves from their presence within the confines of this country. That's not the separation I will stop at. We have to exit this prison. We must self-parole. We must leave if we have the means. We are geographically enslaved, geographically imprisoned, if you wish to use a different terminology. The problem I'm having with this thought process is that there are so many of us who are in love with our oppressor and in love with the system that they present to us every day through media, entertainment, music. We can't shake ourselves of their essence in the confines of their country. We can only get so far. I speak of this referring to the 19 families that purchased property in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, continuing along the lines of this being a prison, these 19 families purchased property within the prison. I want you to imagine how silly that sounds. It's to your advantage if they leave you alone. I myself have purchased property within the prison, but until recently coming to this epiphany in that the fact that we are in a prison, I now kind of see that the property is registered to me. The property, if they want to come find me, collect me, kill me, they may do so. The same goes for this particular settlement, if you will, in Georgia. These 19 families, though purchasing property within the confines of the prison, still risk being raided, still risk being disbanded. If at any point in time this community poses a perceived threat to the United States of America, they will be immediately disbanded without question or prejudice. Those are the facts. So it's not far enough to just purchase property. It's a good beginning. It's okay. I didn't, you know, typically prisons don't let you purchase property within prison, within the prison confines, but where this is a unique circumstance. However, you are still a prisoner. You are still in danger. And they don't like you as you breathe. It's my belief that if white people could rid themselves of black people, they would do it. I'll say that again. It's real simple. It's not rocket science. If white people could rid themselves of black people, they would do it. But they cannot. And the reason they cannot is that their genetics don't permit it. In killing us or destroying us, they would thus be destroying themselves. And they know it. We're useful inmates. You know, we are. We're useful inmates. A lot of the prison employees, they marry some of the inmates, have children with them. Seems to be quite popular these days. I don't know if you've been looking at the prison media, which we call television. Think of it, folks. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but come on. Come on. What is it going to take to get us to think collectively? I don't know, maybe nothing. Maybe something that comes from, you know, from the sky, as others have determined. I have to do something. Otherwise, I would burst if I didn't do this show. This is my therapy. And tonight, we're trying to delve into the psyche of the Negro population in this country, the folks that helped build the country. There's a book that I'm recommending. It's called The Half Has Never Been Told. The Half Has Never Been Told. It is a phenomenal book. And the making, slavery and the making of America, of American capitalism, by Edward E. Baptiste. Folks, let me just tell you something. It's got a 4.9 rating out of 5 on Barnes & Noble. Black Americans, the progeny of slaves, our ancestors built America. And if you don't believe this, now, let me please preface this by saying they didn't create America. We're not going to take credit for that. That's ridiculous. White guys did that. But we did build America. And this book, available at Amazon, The Half Has Never Been Told, Slavery and the Making of American Capitalism. It's a book by Edward E. Baptiste. Phenomenal publication. It tells the truth. It's a hard truth, folks. You know, my newly discovered thing is that I'm an empath. Whoop-de-doo, I'm an empath. Through childhood trauma, one becomes an empath. And so, I have become one. And I tend to put myself in others' place. I tend to not express empathy, but feel empathy. I don't express it so much, but I feel it. And I can understand white and their fear. I understand it. I mean, we do a good job in keeping it at the forefront of their minds by simply breathing, which is why we have a problem being around them, which is why they call the cops on us, which is why they're suspicious of us. And I can understand their fear. If I were in their position, I think I would be afraid of us too. Because you're going to wonder what goes on in the mind of a person treated the way Black Americans are treated in this country. And if we were white Americans, probably be in our best interest to keep a prison-like view of Black people, former slaves, in America. It would only make sense. And so we're harassed more by police than any other demographic anywhere in the United States. We're arrested more, charged more, convicted more, given more time. They say that we commit the most crimes. Let me dispel that myth. Numerically impossible for Black people in America to commit the most crimes committed in America, because we only make up 12% of the population. Now, if you look at the number through the prism of whiteness, you can make the claim percentage-wise. But then I think you have to go deeper. One of the things you know occurs in a prison environment is that there's some degree of an attempt for rehabilitation. And so, they have attempted to rehabilitate us and do, you know, offer the things needed, those lessons that we supposedly can learn to be more like them. Now, when we got here, we had our own culture. We had our own language. A great many of us from the tribe of Judah, kings and priests. And what they did to prepare us for a lifetime of servitude is they stripped us of our identity and force-fed us theirs. If you refused to eat, you were killed. So you take a society, you strip it of its identity, you hand it a new identity, and then the progression of time moves on and forward and so forth. You now release these captives into the wild. No guidance, no resources, no reward for their pain, their suffering. And then you commit to creating an environment unlike any other thought of in human history, a perpetual ghetto-like environment. Make it nearly impossible through law and edict and attitude and careful placement of cronyism that they stay right there. You then pour in drugs, reward single mothers, and mass incarcerate the men. You stir this up in a pot and serve it cold each and every day. This is what black people in these areas of high crime and murder, this is the future they face with no end in sight, no help on the way. And then they have the nerve, the unmitigated gall, to wag their wrinkly white finger at us and tell us, look at how you're behaving. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognigro, podcasting from an undisclosed location somewhere deep in enemy territory. A fellow slave, a fellow Hebrew, determined to get to the psyche of our brothers and sisters to tell them, don't be fooled by what they present to you every day. You are in a prison. You are locked up. I challenge any of you to prove me wrong. I would love to hear from you grateful Negroes out there. And again, the question which prompted this podcast, answered by some idiot that lives in, of all places, South Africa. I didn't know that I was arguing with a dummy. You know how much money the United States gives South Africa? So, of course, he's going to stand up for our oppressors and tell us how grateful we should be that they passed some kind of law that says we're equal. I'm just amazed. Any black person from this country that does any reading can come up with gratitude as a response for their life in the United States. Do you know what they're doing to black people? Do you have any idea? This is not the promised land. This is not the land of the free. This is not the home of the brave. This is none of that for black Americans in the trenches, in the streets, my brothers, not the ones that have bought into this Europeanized Western society, shaved all the hair off their faces, and talk like a literal asshole. I'm not talking about they're talking like an asshole. I'm talking about if an asshole could speak, this is the way they talk. Thinking that if they can speak properly enough, they will be accepted by white society. Now, listen, folks, in any prison environment, as I've said before, you're going to have collaborators. You're going to have prisoners that collaborate with the man. They're going to be rewarded for their collaboration. Some might even be made to be rich. But let me ask you a question. During a prison riot or during a prison emergency, they lock up every prisoner, even the ones that have helped them out. You know I'm telling the truth. I use a reflection of history going back in time to 1930s Germany. Let me just say this. There were Jews in 33, 34, 35 that saw Hitler for what he was and took steps to leave. There were some Jews who took a chance, who looked at the situation and said, it's bad, but it's not so bad that I won't ride it out. So they stayed. Now imagine, if you will, successful Jewish person living in Germany, has a business, maybe considered wealthy in German society, maybe one so high up he seemed untouchable. And as time progressed, Nazism took hold in Germany, he still hoped everything was going to be okay. He watched as fellow Jews left, going to the United States, going to England. And what eventually ended up happening, shortly after Kristallnacht, when the roundup happened and they started going after Jews, they didn't discriminate. They went after rich and poor, homeless and wealthy. They went after Jews that had millions of dollars, Deutschmarks, in that day. Enough money, one would think, could buy them safely out of the prison at that moment. But guess what? Auschwitz, Treblinka, all of these places, they ended up as burnt offerings. And do you know what? Those were the Jews that stayed. It's like boiling a frog in water. I see the plight of black people today living in this prison state as a frog being boiled in water. All of you feel that slight increase in temperature. You all feel it. You walk around this country and you can feel an elevation in the temperature of white people. But most of you think everything's going to be all right. Most of you don't look at Donald Trump for what he is and what he represents in this prison. Ch- chief warden of this penal colony. Some of you being rewarded working closely with the man. Of course, you don't want to leave. You don't know that there's something outside this prison that might be better. And we dare not tell you what we're doing, because if we do, well, you'll tell the man. So if we see that one of our fellow inmates is working closely with the man, if he dresses like the man and he talks like the man and he defends the man, well, then we probably want to keep our escape plans and thoughts to ourselves. See how this works? You see how changing how we think about where we are may in fact change what we do. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Truly appreciate it. The call-in number is 319-527-6069. I welcome any comment, any question. You can find me on the GoFundMe page or the Patreon page that is listed in the description of this podcast. You can join me on Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, Tumblr, Pinterest, YouTube, Twitter, Blogger, or the Amos A. Nunn website. Today, the discussion turns to foundational Black Americans. Let's look at that, foundational Black Americans. Who do I mean when I talk about foundational Black Americans in relation to being in a penal colony? Let me clear that up. I'm not talking about Kamala Harris. I'm not talking about Joy Reid. I'm not talking about the children of immigrants who came from other countries, like, or came from the Caribbean, or came from Africa. Those are not people that share our experience as foundational Black Americans. And right now, that's who I'm talking about. Now, whether or not they share our lineage, that's neither here nor there. I'm not questioning that. But I do know all prophecy points to the individuals who are, in fact, descendants of actual slaves, not immigrants. So when I say foundational Black Americans, what I'm talking about, people in this country that can trace their heritage back to a plantation somewhere in the United States. If you can do that, you're ADOS. If you can do that, you're FBA. If you can do that, good chance you're Hebrew. But if you're two generations from Jamaica, you are not a foundational Black American. Now, that's all there is to it, and that's the end of it. So, if foundational Black Americans were to consider where they live as being in a prison, it would serve to unite the Black community like no other thought. If you have trouble envisioning that you are in prison, please take a look at the news. Because they're treating us like we're in prison. Treating us like we have life sentences. We have no recourse when we are murdered in the streets by one of the prison guards. Just like prison, if they kill somebody in prison, nobody's going to jail. You want to take to the yard and riot, they're going to shoot in the yard. They're going to kill one of you. Then they're going to send you back to your cells. They might restrict your movement. They may tear gas you, give you some kind of, aerosol infection, make you sick. Why don't Black Americans wake up? Don't be in love with this place. This place wasn't built for you. This is why I differentiate between foundational Black Americans and Black Americans that are immigrants or the children of immigrants. Please don't be a child of an immigrant fresh to this country. Never, your ancestors never even seen cotton. Don't glom onto us. Don't jump on our train and wave the ADOS flag. Get off the train. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker. If you don't like what I'm saying, my phone number, 319-527-6069, call it. I'll defend what I say. I have a problem with that. What I'm trying to convey is that a lot of you that are waving the ADOS flag, you're not even ADOS. You're immigrants. Facts are facts. Don't kill the messenger. Unification for Black people in this country is the most difficult task anyone can undertake. And it's usually rewarded with ridicule, suffering, poverty, finally a bullet, which is why I remain forever anonymous. Now, I'll tell the truth. If anybody did a little digging, you'd be able to find out who I am. I could care less. Prove it. We need people like me. This isn't an ego trip. More of us need to speak out to wake each other up because so many of us are asleep. Dr. Kalo Black called me and explained to me the patience I must express and display with our brothers who were like me. King Coon. I was the coon. I was real quick to say, if you didn't like this country, you can get the hell out. And then I read a book. But there are some of you that willfully participate in this ongoing crime. There are some of you that commiserate with our oppressors. There are some of you that love being locked up in prison. And it's sad. Part of the reason we need to leave is because this entire country is going to be destroyed. This isn't side talk that makes no sense, unsubstantiated and unproven. This is going to happen. They're preparing for it of her, lest you drink from her cup. Or something like that. This is not the place to be, folks. We have to leave if we can. Because they're intending on blowing up the prison. We think some of the administration know, But most are just walking around like it's not happening. Let me ask you a question, folks. Do you think they designed supersonic missiles for the hell of it? Missiles that can go faster than the speed of frickin' sound? Do you think the exercises that China and Russia are jointly involved in mean good for this country? What do you think is going to happen? I really need to know. How many of you think this will end well? It won't end well. The foundation for America's destruction has been laid since its creation. The blood of the indigenous population here already, the blood of the enslaved population you continue to abuse, you've heaped sin upon sin upon sin, and your time is coming. The best advice that I can give is that you either find a place to hide or you leave the United States. A third of the earth is said to be set for destruction. A near perfect third would be North and South America. This is what Dr. Kalo Black pointed out to me last podcast. So, foundational Black Americans, life in the United Penal Colony for Negroes. If we thought of this as a prison, we'd do far better than we're doing now. We're all of us collectively suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. Every one of us, in one shape or form. My only purpose is to wake as many of us up as possible. There's not much that you can do in a real sense except change your way of thinking about where you are, the oppressors that surround us all, and the safety of each other. That's another thing that we don't do enough of. We don't stick up for one another enough. One thing about a prison environment is that there's a lot of unity and cohesiveness. And they like to attack the weak. They like to attack our women. They like to attack our children. They like to attack the elderly. And they love attacking the Black family. And if we don't wake up to that fact that this is occurring, we may suffer more than we need to. It tells us in Scripture to be alert. Your adversary, walks about like a hungry lion looking to devour. And let me tell you, you're not going to be alert looking at love and hip hop. You're not going to be alert going to the club, popping bottles, all these stereotypical, nonsensical things, especially brothers with means have and do. You'll also get nowhere commiserating with the enemy. In the end, all the Jews that cooperated with Nazis were murdered. I'll say that again, folks, for the cheap seats. In the end, all the Jews that worked with the Nazi regime were murdered. I'm not talking about being murdered by their fellow Jews. I'm talking about being murdered just at the end of the war by the very Nazis they were helping. What do you think they will do to our leaders? What do you think they will do to our celebrities? Do you think they are somehow protected because they have money and means? The Jews weren't protected. Germans came right in there, collected the Jews, took all their homes, their property, their businesses, their money, put them on a train to Dachau, Birkenwald, Birkenau, Auschwitz, you name it. When the Jews got off the trains delivered to the concentration camps, they didn't divide any of them by class. They were each harried off the plane, off the train, told, put all their belongings in one pile, all their shoes in another pile, stripped naked and prepare to be showered. And they died all equally, rich, poor, influential, unknown, all burnt offerings. What do you think they will do to us? What do you think they will do to Negroes? Let me tell you something. One day in my home, the power went off. I was an edgy man at this point, not so calm as I am now. I went out front my home, and I sat there with a pistol in my lap. And I looked at every car that drove by. Now, you may wonder, why did you do that, Amos? I'm going to tell you a theory I have. It's my belief that if given the opportunity, white people would do harm to us if they thought no one was coming to help us. Did I stutter? It's in their nature. This isn't me talking out the side of my neck. I've seen it happen. Innately, ever present is the need to exert your power over a life. To the extent that you may even take that life if it gives you satisfaction. These are white people. And so, I say without reservation, it is my belief, as prisoners in this prison, that if all of the guards left, the staff would kill us all. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker. It's Monday, October 5th. 2020, 7:14. We got about 45 minutes to go. I want to thank you guys for listening and hopping into the chat room. I see all of you there. I'm trying to tap as quietly as possible. I'm trying to address everything you guys talk about. You know, the fact is, you know, we do this on a shoestring budget, but it works. We want as many people to hear what we have to say as possible. I want to thank Doug Rice, my executive producer, who puts this show together. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. And, when we talked about doing this, all we wanted to be was a voice. Then we got a little bit more successful. And success comes with responsibility. And so the agenda community is moving forward along with the Kingdom Project Group and Dr. Kalo Black in creating a settlement in Ghana. We're just at the beginning stages of this endeavor. I want to address this because it plays into the part of the discussion, whether or not living in the United States is a prison. It plays a part in our escape because there is a path to leaving this place, and why any thinking Negro would want to stay here when there is a viable alternative to this country, which kills us anytime they feel like it. I just don't even know what to say about that person. You got to be half out of your mind not to want to leave this country as a foundational Black American. You got to be half crazy. You got to be completely 100% brainwashed into thinking you're welcome here, you're a citizen, you have equal rights, because you sure don't. And they prove it to you every day, and you whine about it when they do. And so, the agenda community is creating a community called Black Haven in Ghana. 3 to 5 hours, depending on how you travel, from the capital of Accra. 6,000 acres that we will be free to cultivate and develop, all for the purpose of fulfilling the first principle, which is separate. We got to get out of here, folks. Join us. No matter. If you don't, we will leave a path that you can follow. The agenda community commits to doing so. We don't want to leave any of you who want to go behind. Those of you that are happy being amongst our oppressors, more power to you. I hope everything works out. I really do. I hope they treat you well. I hope you get wealthy. I wish nothing but the best. I do want you to understand you'll forever be just a black person to them. I mean, they're going to say what they want to you. But you know how they feel. And the reason that they feel the way they do, I'm going to tell you. Because they don't know how you feel. And that scares the hell out of them. To leave, folks. It's not impossible. We can leave safely, securely, and not just Ghana. Ghana is just a target. Tiao Ministries to Yacoba did a show on folks expatriating to Gambia recently. I believe it's in our calling to leave the United States. If we sit in this place, it will be destroyed and us along with it. So either find a place to hide or get the hell out of this country. They don't want you here anyway. Now, I mean, that's the brutal honesty that most of you cannot deal with. You think because they smile in your face, some of you think that because they treat you politely, some of you think that because you've been allowed to gain some wealth, some notoriety, some fame, some semblance of security in a job that pays well. That's nothing more than a distraction, a placating, momentary relapse. Or respite, relapse, respite. It's momentary. All of this is going to be destroyed. All of it. The apparatus is America is set and due to be wiped off the face of the earth. And none of you are considering leaving even slightly? Come on, guys. You're already in a prison. Why not leave and see what freedom's like? I'm excited to know what another country may offer. I know that in Africa, I'm going to look around and most people are going to look like me if I don't move to South Africa. Barring that, Ghana will be quite an experience. I invite all of you to leave the United States. I think it's bad for our health and really bad for our mental health because some of you brothers and sisters are crazy. I'm going to address this now. You know, when I tweet something, when I post something on Facebook or Pinterest or Tumblr or Reddit or Instagram, it's not intended that you clutch your pearls. When I ask about what black people should be grateful for white people for, you don't have to go ham on me. Please, don't take what I say so damn personally. Some of you have mental problems. It's just a conversation, guys. Just statement. You don't have to commit to it. You don't have to agree to it. But for God's sake, don't tell me I shouldn't think the way I think. And whatever you do, don't tell me I should think the way you think, because now you've pissed me off. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro, with about 30 minutes left in tonight's podcast. I think we've covered why it's important, I think, for us to consider that we are all incarcerated. I think it will contribute to unity in the black community, as well as a need to escape. That's really the long and short of it. There's, you know, I've laid the foundation of why we need to leave. You know, if there's a difference in what I'm seeing from what you're seeing, comment, call, post, let me know. Because if you don't think you're being treated like an inmate, that means you must think you're one of the guards. And there are some inmates that are dressed in guards' clothing. We have to be really cautious about that, folks, because they have the same authority as the guards. They can kill us, they can arrest us, they can detain us, all that. So got to be careful, because even though they're in prison, they've been given badges and guns like the guards. Now, keep in mind, when all hell breaks loose, when the shit hits the fan, they're gonna take their guns away, their badges away, and they're going to put them where they put everybody else. You can't have them with guns. That's going to be the conversation, folks. I'm going to do a Donald Trump. You know it, and I know it, and everybody knows it. Quite a few things today. We've covered that prison aspect, mentality. We've covered what it is to be a foundational black American. I hope I've put that to rest. All posers can go sit down. You're not one of us. Stop. I've never been so frustrated as when we try to have something just for us. When we do that, man, let me tell you something. Nothing pisses off other ethnic groups so much as when black people try to have something for themselves and only themselves. Everybody wants to join in. It's a shame. It's a crying shame. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro. Well, folks, I tell you what I'm going to do, because I can. I'm going to cut down the show to 90 minutes, which is what I should have done. 2 hours is a little bit on my voice without a co-host, but I think I've covered all the bases. I think you guys know of what I speak. I want to thank everybody for listening, for tuning in the chat rooms, for downloading. Last podcast was a very big download. I think it was our highest download. I think it was larger than our second show. And you guys are making us relevant, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much, the folks here at Amos A. Nunn. I thank you, folks, for tuning in. I appreciate your time, your attention, your patience. Please visit our GoFundMe, our Patreon, our Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, Tumblr, Pinterest, YouTube, Twitter, Blogger, and, of course, the Amos A. Nunn website. I am Amos A. Nunn, and I am going to sign off. You guys have a wonderful day.